Yeah, time changes next week, so do that. Genesis 15 is where we're at this evening, going through the book of Genesis on Sunday evening. We're going to talk about Abram's faith, and we should be able to cover the chapter, give you 3 points about Abram's faith, and it's a model of faith. It's something that is referenced multiple times in the New Testament by Paul, multiple times by Paul, and then referenced in Hebrews, which is probably also Paul, but Hebrews 11. And Abram's faith. So Genesis 15, we'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord." And this is the verse, key verse. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." So that's going to be explained and shown to be a model of faith and what the Lord does in response to a man's faith. Verse 7, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." That's Exodus. "And thou shalt go to thy father in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." Those are all the nations that are in the land. That's 10 nations in the land. And this isn't really dealing with prophecy or anything tonight, but 10 nations in the land, and you got a lot of things to deal with, 10 horns and things like that throughout the Bible. But when the Lord makes a covenant with Abram about the land, he mentions 10 nations that are in the land, and those nations will go by different names, and nations will rise and fall, and other nations will spring up, but 10 nations will be in the land. So that is the covenant God makes with Abram with the land. And the practical point Abram makes is, you've promised me this land and I don't have any children. So what good is this land going to be? All this land that I can't do anything with all this land. I don't have any children to pass it on to. And so the Lord promises and makes covenant with Abram and says, "Now your seed's going to inherit this land." So let's pray. We'll give you 3 things about Abram's faith this evening that really makes it a model faith, and will be referenced multiple times in the Bible after this. And so we'll look at three main points about it, but let's pray first. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening and encourage us. I pray that you'd give us understanding, because truly only understanding comes from you. And Lord, this is your words, and you have the interpretation of these words, and you wrote them down, you had them written down so we could be instructed. And I pray that you'd help us this evening. Those that are traveling, I pray you'd keep them safe traveling, and those that are sick, that you'd be with them. Those that are watching, I pray you'd bless each soul that's watching this evening and will be watching later on. And for those that are here, I pray you'd bless each soul that's here, and be encouraged and be glad they came tonight, and get something from you. And I pray you'd feed your flock, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, three things about Abram's faith in this chapter. This is really, I mean, in Genesis, again, I think I've said it before, but you're covering so much of a timeline in Genesis, so much ground in Genesis, that there's big chunks of, I'll put it this way, the scriptural real estate is very, very valuable. So God's going to say something very important out of, you know, maybe a 100-year span or a 200-year span or a 1,000-year span, and he'll focus on one thing and say, this is what you need to look at. This is what I'm concerned with. So Abram is, this is a pivotal time in Abram's life. He has moved his family. We dealt with all the stuff with Lot and Lot's first rescue back in Genesis 14. Of course, Lot's going to have to be rescued again later on. We're not there yet. But in this chapter, you've got some verses, and really one particular verse that gets quoted and gets used and gets explained and applied to any soul going forward. And that's going to be verse 6, but we'll get there in just a minute. 3 points. The first thing is verses 1 through 5, really. And you'll notice the Lord says a couple things that he's going to reiterate in the future. He says to Abram, he says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And I don't even really know where to begin. We could talk about what Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount about rewards and what people are looking for in rewards, and people look for rewards from people. And Lord said those ones that look for rewards from people, they get their rewards from the people they look for rewards from. But the Lord says to Abram, I'm thy reward. Like you look to me, just like Jesus Christ says at the end of the book. He says, it says, even so come Lord Jesus, and he says, my reward is with me. Meaning this is, I have what you're looking for. I have the benefits of your service to me. I have them with me. And but this verse about the Lord being the reward, it goes extremely well with the definition of faith in Hebrews 11. In fact, let's do that. Let's look at that. Hebrews 11. First thing about this faith, if you want to make it a little heading here, Abram's faith is faith that looks up. It looks up. Faith that looks up. God is the reward. The Lord is Abram's reward. The Lord's going to tell Abram, go outside and look up. And then what you see, then all the stars, if you can count them, then that's how many your descendants will be. And but the point is, it's always looking up. But back to this reward thing. He says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now watch this, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's you have to believe that about God. If what you call faith is faith, then what you believe about God is He is the reward. He is the reward. He rewards, and just like verse 6 says, He that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's faith. That's part of the definition of faith. And Abram believes that. Abram believes the Lord is the reward. He gives the reward. It is totally up to him. It's totally up to him what Abram's going to get out of all this, these promises. And so it's faith. It's faith, number one, that looks up. Look in verse 5, or back in Genesis 15, verse 5. After Abram says, you know, I've got this land, but I don't have anyone to inherit it. I don't know that. What good is it going to do me to have all this land with no children? And the Lord says, well, no, I'm going to give you children. In fact, he says this, verse 5, again, faith that looks up. Says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Look up. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Again, the point is, it's Abram's faith is faith that looks upward. And you've got some things in the New Testament that go right along with that. I remember Paul said it in Colossians. He says, and y'all know the verse, I'm sure, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your affection on things above. And so Abram has promised the earth, but he's looking up for the promises. He's looking to the Lord for the promises. There's another, I don't know if I'll take you there. Let me look at this. But Matthew 6, let's look at it. Matthew 6, verse 19. We'll look at that one. Here's one that looks up. Faith that looks up. Abram's faith is faith that looks up. Believes that God is the rewarder. The Lord tells Abram, look up, count the stars. If you can count the stars, that's in your future. That's going to be your future. You have as many children as those stars are. Here's faith that looks up in Matthew 6, what Jesus Christ says. Verse 19, you know these verses. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's just a true statement, period. That's just true. So, number one, Abram's faith is a model faith. It's faith that looks up. And you are looking up. If you have faith, you are looking up because the one that you've trusted in, Jesus Christ, is up. He has ascended up in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. And he is waiting to come back. And the Bible says, he is our life. That's where our life is. Our life is hidden in Christ. So faith that looks up. Now I understand Abram's not Jesus Christ. That name is not familiar to anybody yet in Abram's day. But the premise and the model is true. It's just faith that looks up. Then you have this, number two. It's faith that God credits with righteousness. Faith that God credits with righteousness. Back in Genesis 15, look in verse 6. So after Abram walks outside, looks at the stars, and God says, that's going to be your descendants. That number there, that's going to be your descendants. Genesis 15, 6, the Bible says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That is pivotal. That is necessary. Just a note, not to jump ahead too far, but we'll go through it in the coming weeks. But Abram's credited with righteousness here. In the very next chapter, Abram is going to make a terrible decision. And he's going to produce Ishmael with Hagar. But he's been credited with righteousness. And for the next couple chapters, Abram, you wouldn't know that Abram had righteousness unless you were told that Abram had righteousness by God. Because Abram's life doesn't look like righteousness. I mean, he and Sarah get together and and Sarah has a plan that, you know, she's just too old to have children, so maybe the children are going to come through Hagar. So tells Abram, well, that maybe that's how the children are going to come about. So Abram gets with Hagar, and they have a child, Ishmael, and the whole thing's messed up. It's just completely messed up. But in Genesis 15, Abram's been credited with righteousness. What I'm saying is, you wouldn't know Abram had righteousness unless God told you he had righteousness. I mean, if you ask Sarah, is your husband righteous? She probably would have laughed. She probably would have said, my husband, are you kidding? Have you seen what's happened to our family? So for the next couple chapters, he's the friend of God. I mean, he has a relationship with the Lord. He's been credited with righteousness, and understand the wording here. The Bible says he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Meaning Abram's still not righteous. He just has righteousness credited to him. It's just been accounted to him. Let me show you. Look over in Romans chapter 4. This is a great commentary on what you just read there. Paul sums it up wonderfully. Romans chapter 4. So he credits faith as righteousness. That's accounted as righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Paul's going to use what you just read in Genesis 15 to explain how you get righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So, I mean, there's works, but, you can say some things in front of men, but God's just not impressed with them. At least not sufficiently to gain righteousness. Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Now here's the verse you just read, Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see the transaction? You trust God, you trust what God said, and particularly now you trust in Jesus Christ. If you do, you trust in Jesus Christ, and what happens is God says, okay, I accept that faith, and in return I will credit you with righteousness. I will credit you with righteousness such that you will be justified from your sin, and I will not count your sin against you. I will just credit you with righteousness. Paul goes on, I mean, we can read a little bit more. He says, even as David, verse 6, also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's comes from Psalms, and that's something David said a couple times. But the point, Paul's just over and over making the point, righteousness is something that God credits to somebody. Abraham is he's really no more righteous than he was before, other than God has just declared him to be righteous now. So back over in Genesis, it's faith that God credits with righteousness. In fact, before we go back to Genesis, go over to Galatians. Here's another statement about the same thing. Galatians chapter 3, verse Verse 6, Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, so Abraham's the model, and he says the heathen are going to be justified the same way Abraham's justified, by faith, that's the way they're going to be justified. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So Abraham, you're the model. You're the one that I will use to show as a type, as an example of this. This is a man who believed God, and when he believed God, God credited him with righteousness. And that is how God justifies an unworthy sinner, is that sinner trusts in God's words. Back here, it's Abraham trusting God's words. It's still faith, because he's just responding to what God said. Nowadays, it would be trusting in Jesus Christ, because that's what God said to do. He said, here's my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And so you trust in Jesus Christ, and what God does is he credits you with righteousness. And so now you have the righteousness of God because of your faith. All right, here it is. Here's another thing. Here's a third thing in this, back over in Genesis. Now we'll go back to Genesis. So it's faith that looks up. It's faith that's credited with righteousness. And that is that's a blessing. That's a blessing. I mean, you couldn't work your way into, you and I, when you understand your position before God, you understand your sin before a holy God, there is no work, nothing you and I can do to wash away our sins. You and I, as we talked about this morning, we are trapped in a vile body. And we are stuck in this body, and sometimes we do the things the body wants to do, and it's just perverted, and it's just at enmity with God, and it's sin. And we're stuck in these vile bodies, and there is no way, like Paul said in Titus, not of works of righteousness which we have done. There's nothing. You and I are in a position of being sinners, and if God doesn't credit us with righteousness, we don't have any righteousness. We don't have any credit to our account. We don't have any justification. Now, so you got faith that looks up, faith that God credits with righteousness. And then, after this, Abraham asked a good question. He says, all right, well, how am I going to know this is true? Verse 7, Genesis 15:7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So what you're about to read is faith that is sealed with a covenant to dissolve all doubt. So there is no question. There's no question that God's promises are going to be true. That what God said is absolutely true. And so the Lord is going to seal this promise with a covenant so that any doubt would be completely dissolved and Abraham's question will be completely answered. He said, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. There's probably a good sermon in there about somebody stealing sacrifice and trying to maintain the sacrifice and things like that, but we won't deal with it. You get the idea about what's happening here. Verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto him, Abram, know of a surety, there it is, know of a surety. That's assurance. That means I am going to completely concrete this and let you know for sure this is what's going to happen. I'm sealing this with a covenant so that you know beyond any doubt these promises are going to come true. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That was part of the nightmare Abram has. He goes to sleep, and the Bible says a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him. I'm sure that's part of the horror of great darkness. He just sees the future generations in bondage for 400 years, and what are we into here? But all this is going to be done so that the Lord will answer Abram's question, which is, how am I going to know this is going to happen? And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and this covenant should dissolve all doubt that my promises are true. Now, you ought to be thinking a little bit about a covenant that God makes with man, and or at least offers to man, to dissolve all doubt about eternal life, about God's promises, about the future. This faith of Abram's is sealed with a covenant. And you know what the Lord's going to do in the future? Just to jump ahead here, the Lord in the future will seal his promises with the covenant in Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the new covenant. And in Jesus Christ, now because of what Jesus Christ has done, because of death, burial, resurrection, ascension, promise of a coming, the point is that should dissolve all doubt. Should dissolve all doubt that all of God's promises are true, that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth, that there should be no question in anybody's mind about what's going to happen. So Abram's faith, when he asked the question, whereby shall I know it? The Lord says, well, let me let you know how you're going to know it. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And by this covenant, I'll dissolve all doubt. There should never be any doubt that what I have told you is true. He says, he gives them some parameters about it. He says, you'll be a stranger in the land. All right, so you're gonna wander around. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, if you're saved, if you're here, you're saved. If you're watching, you're saved. This world, this place, this is not home. This is you just feel like you're out of place. You're just sort of a pilgrim. You're just a stranger. And you wonder, you probably wonder, why don't I fit into things? Well, you don't fit in because you're not a part of the system. You're not a part of it. Now, if you do fit in, you ought to kind of question whether you're saved or not. But if you don't fit in, that's perfectly normal because you're not a part of the system. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. That's what he tells Abram. He says, you're going to be a stranger. You're going to wander around. Your children are going to wander around. You'll be a stranger in the land. Later on, he says, in the end, though, you'll end up with great substance in the land. He says in verse 13, he said unto Abram, know of a surety thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. So you've got a time period of just wandering as a stranger, but in the end you end up with great substance. You're going to come out with an abundance. You'll come out with an abundance. It kind of sounds like faith in Jesus Christ. You wander around for a while, you serve God, you struggle to serve God. And what you're looking forward to is the reward that God said at the very beginning. I'm thy reward. I'll come back. Be not weary in well doing. In due time, you'll reap the harvest. You'll get what's owed to you. I mean, I say owed to you. You'll get the reward. And then he says this. You end up with great substance in the land. He tells Abram, verse 15, you're going to rest in peace at a good old age. And thou shalt go to thy fathers, verse 15, in peace. And thou shalt be buried in a good old age. You know what his faith did? It promised, it was trusting God for the land, trusting God for the future, the children Abram would have. It was trusting God, and it resulted in Abram's, he will rest in peace, he'll die, he'll be at peace. I remember when in 1 Samuel, when Saul manages to bring Samuel up through this witch at Endor, and she acts as a medium and brings up Samuel and all that kind of thing. And Samuel comes up, the Bible says his soul comes up, and it comes out of the earth, because everybody who died is in the earth up until Jesus Christ resurrects, and then he takes some of the saints up. But until that time, everybody's in the earth. And Samuel says to Saul, he says, why have you disquieted me? Why did you get me up? Why did you bring me up to deal with this situation you're in? I'm perfectly happy where I'm at. And it's just like Abram, he's promised that he'll die in a good old age, and we have the rest in peace. He says that he'll be buried in good in peace and a good old age, and go to his fathers in peace. And then it's faith that receives rest in death until the inheritance from the Creator. What's interesting about this is Abram's promised, okay, when you die, you'll be at peace when you die. But then later on, when your children's children come to inherit the land, he says in verse 17, it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces. And the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed, have I given this land from the river of Egypt and the great river, the river Euphrates, and he named all the people in the land. Later on, Jesus Christ will talk about Abram coming back to the land and being in the land and sitting down in the land with Jacob and Isaac and all that. And so Abram's promised, okay, you'll die in peace. We'll wait till all of the nations have done fighting and all that stuff. And when the time comes, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to put you right back in the land. I'm going to put you right back in the land, and I'll bring you up out of death. And I will put you right back in the land, and you'll enjoy the land. It'll be yours. So it's faith that is sealed with the covenant to dissolve all doubt, faith that surpasses death and sees beyond death. It's faith that looks up. It's faith that God credits with righteousness. And all of this faith in Genesis 15 and Abram's faith will serve as a model and will be remembered in books in the New Testament, and will be remembered and pointed to as an example for these reasons. It was faith that looks up. It's faith that God credits with righteousness, faith that's sealed with the covenant. And just like your faith, it's all those things. Your faith is all those things. It's faith that looks up. It's faith that God credits with righteousness. It's faith that is sealed with the covenant in Jesus Christ. And the purpose of all that is, or one of the effects of all that is, faith that's sealed with a covenant to dissolve all doubt. There's no question what God said is going to happen. He has now proven, he has now defeated death, and Jesus Christ has defeated death, and so there's no question that one day Jesus Christ is returning to this earth, and he will rule and reign this earth. And he will subdue all things, including death. And the Bible says death will be the final enemy that he'll put down. So this is Abram's faith, and it is an example, it is a model, and lots of characteristics that show up here in Abram's faith are going to show up in your faith. I mean, if you have faith, they'll carry the same characteristics that Abram's had. But I hope that's helpful to you. Let's pray, and we will get out of here this evening. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I pray that you would encourage us and in the week ahead, remind us of things we've heard today, and trust folks have had a good Sunday and a good time to gather together and worship you and learn about you and be instructed and be helped. And I pray that you'd encourage us for the week to come here. Show us opportunities. Help us with opportunities you give us. And Lord, we so look forward to, I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to, like we talked about this morning, being out of this body. I look forward to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And but in the meantime, Lord, I pray that you'd help us be the church you want us to be. Let's be good testimonies, good ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ and the area that we're in here. And Father, thank you so much for your words. What will we do without your words? What a mess our lives would be. Thank you so much for your words. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are